every day you have to find a way to work on your mental endurance, your mental stability, which, you know, allows you to have a mental edge. You don't want to push yourself outside your comfort zone a lot.
Right.
And I had to get over that point where I'm realizing, okay, we got to try something new. I may miss the first 20 shots.
Guys, welcome back to Failure. The place where, as they say, success has many fathers and failure has none. Well, here's Failure's father. And it's us sitting here, me and Chris. And we're glad you're joining us again. Thanks for following us. Thanks for watching. Thanks for your comments. So today's a really special episode. And it's really special and personal to me. As many of you know, you know, I probably wrongfully, and I'm sure most ball players are like, I can't believe he's even comparing himself to that. But compare my past life to what I feel like a professional athlete must have gone through. And as many of you know, I talk about it like I spent almost 15 years of my life with tunnel vision. Like I feel like, you know, I was told, go here, do this. I spent 270 days a year on a plane. I was given what suit to put on. I was told where to go. I was told where to talk. I had my three dinners, you know. You know, athletes have to go to the gym at 5:15. I had to have three dinners and get drunk three times over, you know, and still compose and close a deal. And, you know, after that kind of came to a screeching halt, I woke up at 40 and I was like, who am I? What's my life? And I only had defined myself as Ryan, the movie guy and the TV guy and the sports hitting guy, but I didn't know Ryan as a person. And it took failure for me to get there. To say like who, I literally didn't know how to pay a basic bill. I didn't even know who paid my bills. And I often say, I kind of think I know what, you know, a star athlete feels like, because I got to imagine, you know, they have, obviously they're on the road, they're playing ball. It's all about playing ball. And then when that's over, you know, I know what happens to people around me, at least. A lot of them disappear. Mm-hmm. You know, the people who are supporting you and you think are your friends, a lot of them disappear. And so, today, I actually can ask that question. And I'm really, really lucky that Chris is dear friends with one of the greatest of all time,
yes,
D. Wade. And I'm going to turn it over to Chris to introduce him, because I'm so excited to have him here. And I'm so excited that I actually get to hear the answer and see, like, again, we're not here to hear about how great he is, because we all know how great he is. Yeah. Anybody who knows him, everywhere he goes, he's the greatest. But we're here to hear about the challenges, the struggles, the failures. And for me, this is going to be very personal. So very I'm going to turn it over to Chris.
I'm so excited. Thank you, Ron. We're so excited to have my brother, Dwayne Wade. You guys know him. Legendary basketball player, Hall of Famer, top 75, and the list goes on. Mm-hmm. Entrepreneur, father, husband. I mean, it goes on. And obviously, I'm around Dwayne all the time, so I see him when the cameras are not on. And I know how genuine he is, and I know the love that he brings for his people and how he takes care of everyone around him. And so, welcome, D. Thank you for coming on Failure. Man,
thank
my
you,
brother.
Yeah, for sure.
Happy to
I
have you.
I was wondering when I was going to get my invite. You know what I'm saying? Y'all reaching top tens and everything, and I ain't going to. Nah, I appreciate
he told
it.
Me, he's like, I don't want to invite that guy on. And we got Bob here, D. Wade's partner for many years and many ventures, and also I think who's witnessed behind the scenes firsthand.
Fly on the wall,
which is usually the people who have the best stories.
Yeah, he does. So Ryan, so D, let's start with 59th in Perry. And what was that like, and what type of pivots you had to make in your life at that point, your age? And let's talk a little bit about that, 59th and Perry.
Yeah, first of all, before I answer that, to your point, Ryan, is when I retired, Bob and I did my second book together. Yep. And it was called, I titled it Dwayne, because no one calls me Dwayne. Everyone calls me Dwayne Wade, everyone calls me D. Wade. And it's and normally when I hear that name, someone wants something from me. Mm-hmm. When I hear Dwayne, it's like, somebody
that
knows
person
me.
Knows me.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like someone who cares about me.
Yeah.
And so that was the whole thought of doing that was in this next phase of my life, I want people to get to know Dwayne, but I'm searching for him too. And so even though my book was a wrap up of my career, the name was for the future, was what, who I wanted to, who I'm willing to work to become, to show people that I am. I'm Dwayne. I'm not Dwayne Wade or D Wade. Mm-hmm. And so to your question, is that like you woke up like, who is Ryan? I did the same thing. I'm like, okay, who am I without the Wade attached to it? Who am I without the jersey attached to it? I'm just Dwayne. And so I'm on the same journey.
How hard was that? Is it like, what were you feeling? And like, what was going on? I mean, for me, I was shocked at some of the people who I thought were my friends that weren't. And then I was shocked at some of the people who were my friends that I didn't think were. And I was, you know,
you might get your feelings hurt. You're going to get your feelings hurt on the journey. Yeah, there's going to be some people that you thought, you know, I tell my son this all the time, like, you're going to lose people you never thought you would.
Yep.
Right? And it's for many different reasons. But you will lose people along this journey of life, especially as you find you. No one wants, there ain't that many people who root for you to really, really be who you say, you know, who you're supposed to be. Because sometimes when it happens, that means that they have to move out the way. No one wants to move out the way. They want to be there to be able to help, you know, go down this path with you or control you or whatever the thing is. And so sometimes when you step into who you are, a lot of people got to move. And that's not a comfortable thing for certain people. And so, that's...
I was, you know, I was sitting with a good friend last night, actually, at dinner. And I don't go to many dinners. I didn't have the kids last night, but one of my new rules after I started finding myself was I'm home for dinner with the kids every night at 5:30. And I just don't do work dinners. And this person who's a really good friend, and I'll call it was at the highest of the high. Like, people think I was at the highest of the high. This guy would, you know, I don't want to call him out, but literally the highest of the high. You don't get higher. And
you got dinner with Jesus. Hey, dinner with Jesus.
I mean, if you're talking about the movie business, he kind of was the Jesus of the movie business. Yeah, but he literally said, he was like, I was shocked when he's 80 now, and his career lasted, you know, all the way till a couple of years ago.
Yeah,
and the things he did. The one thing about him is. He was known to do everything for everyone. Like, he would help anybody his whole career. He was just a nice guy. And he's like, I was shocked at those people who just weren't around, the invites I didn't get, the parties that I used to go to every year for 25 years. And I was like the guy they wanted. And all of a sudden he goes, I wouldn't have gone anyway,
right?
But I didn't get the fucking invite. You know,
and we all want the invite. We might not want to show up, but we definitely want the invite.
And I was like, you know, that's a really good way to say it. Yeah. Like, I wouldn't have gone either. But did you go through all that too? Same shit.
I think I did. I don't go through it as much. You know, when your life becomes bigger than you, then you don't go through that as much. When it's about you, and you know, you need that pat on the back. You need that praise through man. Sometimes we need it. No, you know, we need someone to text us and say something good. We need someone to tell us we smell good. Like, we need these compliments. Yeah. And so that's a compliment to invite me somewhere, right?
Yeah.
And but you know, once you get over that, then you know, then you clear a path for yourself. And so I've tried to clear that path to myself, because that's something that will hold me back, because I have expectations of something or someone, and what comes with expectations?
Disappointment.
So I try not to live my life with the disappointments from others, because life gonna give me enough of them just by living.
It's interesting. It's funny because I look at it similar but opposite in a way, which is when I was finally, I call it like freed, right? I remember the moment that it happened. It was an actual moment, and I built off of that moment.
Yeah.
And like, but when I was finally freed, I realized it's not a feel good to get invited. They don't want me there. They wanted Ryan Kavanaugh, the studio head, who could do something for them there.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
and when you realize that they didn't invite you, and it gives you the ability to check those people off the list, and that person doesn't want Ryan, just like you said, you're Dwayne. They wanted Ryan Kavanaugh, the guy who could greenlight their movie or make their TV show or sign them a sports agency. But they don't want Ryan because I'm a nice guy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, great. Yeah. Check off the list, because thank you for doing me that favor and not inviting me.
Yeah, you ain't walking in and like, hey, Brian, you go that beer that you like. Yeah, they don't know what beer you like. I'm just saying you like beer.
Right.
They don't know those things.
No, so, I like red wine. But.
Yeah, I think that's a part of the journey, right? Like, I'm 42 years old, and, you know, even though in some aspects in life that's young, right? But, you know, when you've been on your own for living your life, creating your life since you, you know, since I was nine years old, wow. Then at 42 feels,
feel
a lot older.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because, you know, this journey to sit here and have Chris say all those things he just said is damn near impossible.
Right.
From where I come from. And, you know, and multiple people like myself that has gotten success from where they come from. But on that journey, long journey.
Fucking lonely.
And as we sit here, and to my left, it says failure. As we talked about, you're going to experience this way more than you're going to experience the success part of life. Absolutely. On that journey. The success comes, you get these small wins, you may get a big win. You get a lot of these.
You have to have, I would say you have to have at least 100 of these to get even the chance of one small one. Mm. And some people only get one small success,
right?
So like people like you in your career and me, someone in my career, we're lucky that we had a bunch of them. But what I always look at is the number of times I had to fail to get there. Mm-hmm. You have to incrementally fail more and more and more to hit those wins, right? And it's so, you know where we really, Chris and I, we like connected like brothers like this. And we just, I think we had to like stop talking on the podcast after like 5 hours. We're like, people aren't going on just for 5 hours. But when he said, you know, athletes, he goes, you know what percentage the best athletes in the world make of their shots? The best ball players? Mm-hmm. He was like, what? He said about
30%. 33%.
And I'm like, so they fail 70% of the time. It's like, yeah. And I'm like, athletes are the epitome of failure because they have to be willing to miss more than 2/3 of the time and forget that. And then he told me about next play speed.
Get to the next play quick. Yeah. And athletes have to fail in real time in front of people. Mm-hmm. There's no redo-overs. You know, they have you can go to the replay center. But still, that's less than a minute. So you have to get back on your horse. You know, I was telling the young athletes today, I was like, you know, I'm training you guys to fail over and over again because a guy missed 2 or 3 shots. And I was like, to be built for this, you have to get being, you have to feel the fear.
Feel the fear and do it anyway. That's what we call it. Feel the fear and do it anyway.
Feel the fear of failing and do it anyway. And so the fear that he felt was he missed 2 because everybody was sitting there watching him. I said, you're going to have millions of people watching you. So you might as well feel the fear now and do it anyway. And he was like, man, where you get this stuff from? And I was just like, young fella, listen.
He's like, I got a direct line to the man up there. And he just puts it in my brain.
You know, coming through that, the feeling of the fear, I mean, even when you're in the gym by yourself, speaking as an athlete, you get some athletes, and I was this way before as well, where you don't even want to get uncomfortable and do something outside of your comfort because of the fear of failure. And this is nobody even watching you.
Yep. Nobody.
This is you working on stuff. It's and yourself. Some people like stay. Yeah, you do not want to push yourself. And with no one watching you, you don't want to push yourself outside your comfort zone a lot.
Right.
And I had to get over that point where I'm realizing, okay, we got to try something new. I may miss the first 20 shots.
Yep.
But I need to get better at this or whatever the case may be. And so think about failing when the lights are on in front of not only to 20,000 that's in the arena, but
the millions in the world. And the replay.
And the replay.
That's what I'm getting around. You know? I was telling you.
And not only failure as in losing, but when you're on stage, the way we're on stage, failure as in, you know, the things you do in your personal life.
Yep.
You know what I mean? Your failures, my failures, are out there for the world to comment on what I do in my personal life. Right? I don't know most people's personal lives.
Right.
I don't comment on most people's personal lives.
That's what I told Ryan.
But they get to comment on mine, right? And, and so your failures are out there in so many different ways. And it's not just from a winning and a losing of a ball game, but it's how you act in moments, right? I may have a bad moment where I may say something wrong in a presser because we just lost the finals, and I don't know how to really respond to you asking me these dumbass questions.
Right? Yep.
No, that's a fact.
And I'm going to fail in that moment possibly, right, in front of the entire world, and y'all going to dissect me and break it down and say I'm a bad person. But that's, like, for me, since I was 21 years old, I've been failing in front of the world. And, you know, you learn from the failures, but you don't always learn each time. Take 2 or 3 sometimes.
Oh,
I got that one. Don't do that no more. Now. So
that's for me the funny part is I'm like, shit, I did it again.
Yeah.
I'm really not gonna do that again.
Trying to get better.
Trying to get better. We have this thing called mental endurance. And you take someone like Dwayne, right? and you look at his 16-year career and him experiencing three championships, and you talk about failing in public over and over again, out of 16 years, three championships, what's your mental endurance like?
Everyday challenge. I mean, even today, like going through my entire life, I've been in five finals, I've been in gold medal games, I've been in pressure-packed, the most pressure-packed situations you can ever be in sport and in life, and still, it's a challenge every day to focus on my mental endurance, my mental stability. Like even in yoga today.
This morning.
Bro. First 15 minutes, my mind went pew, and I had to work hard to bring my mind back, because I know we got 75 minutes in
75
here.
75 minutes.
And I can't walk out the door.
Yeah.
And so
we've been there
working on
too.
Right, we've been there. Well, we want to walk out. So you every day you have to find a way to work on your mental endurance, your mental stability, which you know allows you to have a mental edge, right? Like when I played sport. My whole goal was I got to have a mental edge, because talent is talent. Like, okay, we're talented. You're this, I'm that. But what is my edge? And so I had to have a mental edge. You know, conditioning wasn't my edge. I wasn't like Steph, where I could just run around all day. That just wasn't my thing. But this was my thing. And so having a mental edge, but it's the mental endurance.
It's
just
that
the mental
endurance.
It's a process, you know? And the athletes look, and everybody thinks it's just the physical when you see an athlete.
No, it's so mental. It's